And we're pleased to be joined by our U.S. Senator Jim Risch from the nation's capital. Senator Risch, good morning. How are you?
Oh, always glad to be with you.
Well, it's always good to hear from you, Senator. And as always, Washington is tumultuous. So let's just go ahead and start with the shutdown. We're seeing these images of long lines at airports and the TSA. And this is a very avoidable problem, but we're still in the thick of it. And would love your thoughts on it.
Well, it is totally avoidable, and it's just sickening that here we are, the most powerful country on earth, and we get hung up on these kind of details. But look, this is all the result of the hatred that the Democrats have for President Trump, and their willingness to do whatever it takes to try to embarrass him or what have you. And as you know, you can't pass stuff here without a 60-vote margin. That means we've got to have seven Democrats cross over to pass something, and they're just dug in and not doing it. I've been a co-sponsor since I got here of a number of bills that are that would prevent these kinds of shutdowns, to where you get to the place where if you can't reach an agreement on the level of funding, it just stays where it is. And I mean, it's just common sense. And to make these people work and not to pay them is just despicable. I mean, you couldn't do it in any other industry, but yet the government can do it. We got to keep praise on our TSA people and on our Coast Guard people and the others that are all the DHS employees that are working and not getting paid. And this is a real hardship on these people. You know, there's a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck, and they just need our empathy, and they need our appreciation for what they're doing. We're going to keep at it and keep pressuring, and they're trying some innovative ways to try to get some money moved around to get these people paid. But it's just outrageous, absolutely outrageous. I can't tell you, we voted, I think, 15 times on it now, and the Democrats just lock up And they say they're not going to vote unless they have a list of demands that they're going to do, like the use of warrants when they're trying to arrest somebody, which of course is impossible. By the time you go get a warrant, they're gone. And they got just a whole list of things that they actually want to disband ICE. They say so publicly that they want to get rid of it. So anyway, it's sickening. It really is, to sit here and watch this.
Well, Senator, tomorrow's kind of a big day. There's been hints that there will be another vote tomorrow to try to end this and reopen the government completely. It's also the day you guys are supposed to be leaving town. So what do you foresee happening tomorrow, and will you guys be able to leave?
Julie, that's up in the air. I can't answer that question. This should have been resolved a long time ago. Another vote, I don't think is going to help. There's got to be some innovative things done outside the legislative process, because it simply isn't working. I mean, you said we'll vote tomorrow. We'll probably have a vote on it one or two today, and you know, it's when you're trying to put a round peg in a square hole, you can't just yell for a bigger hammer. That doesn't work. You know, you got to get a different peg. So we've been working on it for some time, but it's just frustrating. It's just incredibly frustrating.
One of the ideas, Senator, that your colleague, Senator John Kennedy, brought forward is really two things: that if any part of the government is shut down, then U.S. senators don't get paid. And they can't leave Washington either, because we're kind of facing both of those prospects coming up with the Easter break. Senators will continue to get paid. They're free to go home, be in their district. Are you in favor of that kind of reform that Senator Kennedy is bringing forward?
Yeah, I think anything we can do to be helpful on this would be good. I don't know that that resolves the problem. Some that need pay and some that could go along without it till it's over. Staying here, that's going to happen anyway. I mean, we need to be here to get this resolved. So not even though we're scheduled to be back for a 2-week state work period, people people aren't going to be leaving here till we get this done. So,
okay.
It's good. It's a good, nice thing to talk about, but it is not going to resolve the problem. You know, our problem is Trump derangement syndrome. They are willing to do anything and hurt America anyway, as long as they can blame it on President Trump.
All right, let's shift gears, Senator, and talk about the war in Iran. Neil and I were joking the other day, we could turn on three different news channels and we'd have three completely different conflicts going on, according to their reporting. So why don't you give us what you can tell us? I know that there's a lot of classified information. And specifically, let's focus on the Straits of Hormuz.
Yeah, let's start at 30,000 feet. This country has been defeated by Israel and the U.S., and it was defeated within the opening hours of the war. They have no navy left. Every boat they had is on the bottom of the ocean right now. They have no air force left. Every one of them was taken out on the ground, with the exception of a few that got off the ground. They had one cheapy Russian plane they bought that was kind of fun to watch. It took off and against an F-35, and it lasted not minutes, it lasted seconds in the air before it was knocked down. So all of their defense capability is gone, and as a result of that, the U.S. and Israel have the full, they can fly anywhere they want in the country at any level. And so when that happens, a war is essentially over. If you don't have control of your sky, you got a big problem. So that's where it is right now. They are very stubborn, as you know. It is a country of 92 million people, and it is an incredibly interesting story that you have these 92 million people. 75% of the population is 35 years old or younger. They don't want anything to do with the baloney that the mullahs are putting out. And yet they can't do anything because they don't have a Second Amendment like we do. They have no weapons. They go out and they protest. And when they do, they start killing them. And after the 12-year war, after the 12-day war last year, they killed thousands, tens of thousands. Nobody knows how many, just to put down the dissent in the country. So they have a very difficult time. If the people could take over that country, it would be a democracy, and I think a Western-leaning democracy when it was put together. But that's it. Right now, they're in charge. The radical religious zealots are in charge, and they have all the weapons, so it's a very difficult situation for the people. But in any event, from the military standpoint, this is going to be over quite quickly. This is not a forever war. Nobody wants a forever war. It's not going to happen. It's going to be over quite quickly, and we'll get back to normal again. Unfortunately, the prospects for a change of regime are difficult for the reasons I outlined, where the people just don't have the ability to take over. If they could, it'd be a different situation. But we're going to get this ended. The straits are going to be open. Price of gas is going to come down. It's going to happen fairly quickly.
Senator, I do want to ask you about one thing, because you see lots and lots of stuff in the media. I think I saw a headline yesterday that Nancy Mace stormed out of a hearing and muttered something about they're going to put boots on the ground. But we all know the moment that a war strategy shifts to put your own nation's boots on the ground, support for that drops dramatically. Can you give us, I don't know if you can give us an assurance, you're not the commander in chief, but can you give us an indication about the prospect of sending our men and women there and putting them on the ground in Iran?
Yeah, there is no plan to put boots on the ground. Your assessment of what happens to the support is absolutely right. And look, we don't have to do that anymore. I mean, wars aren't fought that way. They're fought with drones. They're fought with air power and rockets. You don't need the. It's not like the old Vietnam days where tens of thousands of troops went in to try to occupy a country. That's not going to happen. That's not what President Trump has in mind by any stretch.
All right. This will probably seem weird that I'm asking you this question, but I think our listeners would be interested in this. Can you give us an update on Venezuela? From our positioning, we feel like it's been incredibly successful for Americans and what they've done. And I know Maduro is in a courtroom today. He will face a hearing today about his crimes. So can you give us an update on Venezuela?
Isn't it amazing how quickly things turn to the back page?
Yeah.
We were remember when that happened. That first of all, it was an incredibly successful military operation. I think every despot in the world, after watching that, was wondering where they were going to sleep that night, because we went into this country and went in to the most secure part of the country on a military base. And they were on the ground there for less than 2 hours. They had a 27-minute firefight. None of our guys were killed. They plucked the president right out of bed with his wife and hauled him off to New York. An incredibly successful operation. But this thing was well planned out. And you, by the way, you keep hearing the same things about Iran. Well, they had no planning. That's a bunch of baloney. They've been planning this for a long time. But back to Venezuela, they had that planned out, and you'll notice the woman who became the head of the government did not take the oath of office right away. And the reason was there were negotiations going on between she and members of our government. And she had to make some commitments if we were going to say, okay, that'll be all right. So she did, and things are going well there now. It's not where it needs to be. The Venezuelan people need to have an open election. The Venezuelan people are not strangers to this. It's only been two dictators ago that they had a robust democracy with a robust capitalist free market system. And they want to go back to that, and they are going to go back to that. So there's agreements in place that how the government is being run right now and how they're going to get to elections to get a for real president in there. But they're going to be they are right now an American friendly country, and it's a tremendous success. It's very little media now, of course, with the Iran situation going on, but that's a really good point.
Senator, in our last topic here, let's shift to the effort to pass the SAVE Act, this election security bill that it doesn't look very likely at all, because it's yet another issue that you're going to have to get to 60, and we can't even get to 60 to pay TSA agents. So, but I would love your thoughts on maybe the path forward here. I know Senator Kennedy did mention the other day, let's look for a way to get this through reconciliation, which lowers that threshold. But that feels like a major long shot, like it's probably not ever going to happen that way.
Don't know. It's worth a shot. Look, I've been committed to this from the beginning. This is a great idea. I mean, and it's so simple. What's wrong with saying to that you have to prove you're a U.S. citizen when you register to vote? And what's wrong with when you're showing up to vote, you show them an ID with a picture on it? I mean, this is just common sense. Our country works with that. You don't get on an airplane without showing ID, a picture ID. You don't pick up a prescription without showing ID. You can't go into a hospital. You can't put your kids into school without showing a birth certificate. This is the way things work, and the Democrats are just absolutely opposed to that because it's simple. They want non-citizens voting, and of course we're very much opposed to that. We don't have the problem in Idaho. Our elections are really run well and have been as long as I've been involved with this. You know, honest people running a really decent operation, but that isn't true all over the country. You know, these mail-in ballots were believe it or not, there are places in America where the legislature has passed a law that the county clerk mails a ballot to everybody, whether they request it or not, whether they're alive or not, whether they've been checked on or not, everybody gets a ballot. Well, that is just an absolute invitation for fraud. So we're going to continue to push this. Most of us are committed that we're going to do whatever it takes to get this passed, and we will eventually, I think, find a way where we can do this. And there's, you know, reconciliation. Yeah, it's a longer shot, but that tells you how committed we are to the thing that we're going to try to do this. You say, well, why are you so worried about this? And we're in Idaho. We don't have these kind of problems in Idaho. Well, the fact of the matter is, every state elects people to Congress, and we, as Idahoans, are entitled to have people who come there who were lawfully, legally elected and truly represent the population that they're representing. So it is a it isn't a problem in our backyard, but it is a problem for us because these are the people that make the laws that that are national laws that govern us.
I'm trying to think through this reconciliation angle. Could the position be, look, states, you can conduct your elections the way you want, but you're going to have massive funding withheld if you don't implement these reforms in your national vote, in your national elections? Would it be something like that?
Something like that. It could be that or a wide variation of things like that. In reconciliation, it's got to be related somehow to money. And how it relates is a huge argument and always winds up being an argument. But I've seen other things that were of the same nature go through reconciliation. So, look, the president wants this. I want this. I'm committed to it. I'm committed to see whatever we need to do to get it done. And on our side, most everybody's in the same position I am. So we will keep, this isn't going to go away. We're going to keep after it.
All right. We'll leave it at that. Senator Jim Risch, our guest this morning. As Senator, we always appreciate the time you give us. Thank you.
Neil, good talking to you. Thank you.
All right.